When you are praying the word of God, you can be sure that you are praying in the will of God. All right? Whenever you pray in the word of God, you are praying in the will of God. Now, look at this. If I'm praying for somebody to be saved, I'm praying in the will of God. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repent. If I pray that people live, myself and others live a holy life, I'm praying in the will of God, because this is your sanctification, even the will of God. If I'm praying for a godly spouse, this is the will of God, according to Proverbs 18 and verse 22.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude part three of Anointing Fall on Me, which ends our series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of part three of Anointing Fall on Me.
And help me in my prayers. Oh, the Holy Spirit is wonderful as he helps us in our prayers. The second thing it says about the Holy Spirit is it says, notice what he says here, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So the Spirit helps us to pray the things that we need to pray. Sometimes we don't even know how to pray. Look at your notes. Sometimes in the midst of suffering, we can get confused regarding what we should pray for. Should we pray for God to remove the suffering? Should we pray for strength to endure the suffering? Should we pray for God's guidance through the suffering? Should we pray for the Lord that, I know I prayed this when I was sick, take us home to glory? Are we missing something in our prayers? Are we praying according to the will of God? You see, I mean, all these things, when we go through a time of suffering, all these things go through our mind. And we begin to ask all these questions. How do I pray in the midst of this? How do I pray? Now, we know how we want to pray. And I'm going to show you something here in a second that's powerful. We know how we want to pray, but we're asking, how should we pray? Our thoughts and prayers can vacillate like a fan moving from side to side. It is at this point the Holy Spirit takes and intervenes and communicates our prayer to the Father in ways that escape us at the present time. In the New Testament, we see some godly people who didn't know how to pray. The first one that I want to share is the Apostle Paul. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here was what, to me, next to Jesus Christ, he was one of the greatest New Testament saints that we have to read about in the New Testament. He says in verse 7, now again, keep in mind, this is a man of God. I mean, a serious man of God that wrote most of the New Testament. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, a thorn is what? Something that's sharp and painful, right? A thorn is sharp and painful. So Paul had something sharp and painful going on, whether it was physically, spiritually, or emotionally, whatever the case might be, this thing was sticking him. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now look at this. What was Paul's prayer? Paul was praying for the Lord to do what? Take away the thorn. Lord, take this thorn away. This thing is sharp. This thing is painful. Take it away. So the Holy Spirit is listening to Paul's prayer, right? So what do you think the Holy Spirit is saying? No, 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 Paul. That's not it. That's not it. And you know, sometimes that's how we pray. Lord, remove this situation. Lord, take this situation away. And God changed Paul's prayer because he was praying wrong. He was praying. Now hear me now, saints. Hear me. He was praying wrong. And that's why I'm saying that our prayers have to be guided by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit got him straight. And then Paul realizes, he says in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now, what does besought mean? It means to pray. I prayed three times for the Lord to take this thing away. And he said unto me, nope, not going to do it. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Notice this. If you go back to that slide, notice this, that Paul's prayer changed from what? Healing to strength. Healing to strength. So all the time Paul was praying for healing, what was the Holy Ghost saying to the Lord? Give him strength. Give him strength. Man, the Holy Spirit is a bad boy. The Holy Spirit, I mean, this man was praying for healing. And what was the Holy Spirit praying? Lord, strengthen him. Lord, give him strength. He don't know what he's praying, should be praying for. Give him strength. We think of Peter and how, look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Here, Peter didn't even know what was going on. Had no idea of what was going on around him. But notice what Jesus, sometimes, I think of that song, Amazing Grace. It says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Man, you done come through stuff that you didn't even know you was in trouble. Peter didn't even know this was, Peter might not even been praying. Peter was somewhere else. And Jesus said, Simon, Simon, verse 31, Luke 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brother. See what's going on? Peter didn't even know what was happening. But the Holy Spirit was what? Working through Jesus and praying that prayer to the Lord for what? He was praying for the Lord to protect Peter from Satan. How many times have we gone through stuff? And we didn't even know we were going through it. And the Holy Spirit interceded on our behalf. Notice what it said. I don't want us to miss the point. What did Paul say? For we don't know what to pray for like we should. We don't know what to pray for. And the Holy Spirit steps in. You might be praying the wrong thing, or you might not even know that you're in trouble and you need to be praying. Thank God, man. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing that we see is that Martha and Mary, now, their brother died, right? Their brother died. And Jesus came. Now, the first thing that I believe it was Mary that came first, I'm not sure, I have to go back and read it, said, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Right? So Mary goes on about her business. And then Martha comes. Right? And what's the first thing she says? If you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. So what does that tell us? All right, you see, sometimes, you know, when two people come to you saying the same thing, you know what? They've been talking. Yeah. They didn't hear me, let me say that again. You know they've been talking. You know they've been talking. So they sent for Jesus to come. And he didn't come. Now, you know, Jesus and his hungry disciples, you know, they came and sat at our table and ate our food. And we asked him to come on. And our brother was sick. And we asked him to come because we knew if he came, he would have healed him. And Jesus didn't come. What was their prayer? Lord, heal our brother. Heal our brother. But Jesus had something greater in mind. Jesus was going to let their brother die and then raise him from the dead. So their prayer was wrong. And you know, you think about, here's three situations where people prayed the wrong thing or they didn't pray for something that was going on. And the Holy Spirit understands and lifts our situation up to God. I had, and I've shared my testimony before, my whole life. Since the time I was 8 years old, I played football. And I wanted to play in the NFL. Played junior high school, college, tried out for the Dallas Cowboys, and 77 and the Denver Broncos in 78. And I remember when I got released from Denver and how that I thought my whole world was crushed. And I remember saying this, Lord, if you let me make professional football, I had become a Christian at that time. Lord, I'll glorify you. Lord, if you let me make professional football, I won't do anything that advertises anything wrong. I'll glorify you in this position. Lord, I just want my life to glorify you. And God said, yeah, you're going to do all that. And you're not going to play professional football. See, God had other plans. I thank God. I think if I'd have got my wish or my desire, you know, who knows what would have came in my life. I mean, I hope I would have stayed on this course that I'm on, but, you know, God knows what's best. And so I was praying something that was totally outside of the will of God. And so the Holy Spirit, Father, just be patient with him. You know, he's going to get this thing right. Just be patient. You know, he's praying wrong right now. He's praying wrong, but you're going to help him to pray right. The Holy Spirit helps us because we don't even know sometimes what to pray. The third thing is that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. With groanings that cannot be uttered. Look at your notes. In your notes, we say here, the phrase groanings that cannot be uttered has been the topic of much debate. Without going into all the interpretations, I would like to focus on what it clearly says. The New International Version interprets the phrase wordless groans, this phrase groanings that can't be uttered. The New American Standard Bible says groanings too deep for words. So what is one thing that is clear? The communication coming from the Holy Spirit is not audible. Brother Kelly, what's your email address? Oh, he don't have one. So I don't have an email address this week. Who's the pulpit minister next week? That's my email address. All right. One thing is clear. The communication coming from the Holy Spirit is not audible. Even though these groanings are inaudible, they carry a profound meaning going from the heart of the Holy Spirit within the believer, wow, to the very heart of God. That whenever the Holy Spirit groans, that it's going from his heart to God's heart. The Holy Spirit understands what's going on inside of us. He understands when we are not lining up. The Holy Spirit understands that. And it takes it from our heart, or the Holy Spirit's heart, to God's heart. Turn to John 11, 33. John 11, 33. Passage we just got finished talking about. Lazarus had died. Lazarus had died. This is deep. This is deep right here. Lazarus had died. He says in verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw Mary, when he saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping who came with her, look at this, he groaned in the spirit. Jesus was so overwhelmed with grief that the only thing he could do was what? Have you ever been to that point where you're just so overwhelmed with emotion? Maybe you just got the news that somebody died, somebody that you know and loved has died. And it's like you can't even believe it. I can't even believe that this happened. And you're just there and there's nothing. There's nothing. You have nothing. You have no prayer. You have no words. There's just nothing. But you know you need to communicate with God. You know you need to get something out to God, but there's nothing. And the Holy Spirit, praise God, understands what's going on inside of you. And the Holy Spirit groans and makes intercessions for you with words that cannot be uttered. When Jesus came and he saw all these people crying, the Bible said that he, in the spirit, have you ever been there before? What? Just think about when you got the news of somebody that was dear to you that might have died unexpectedly. What did it do to you? I mean, there's you know, being pastor here for 25 years, I've gotten calls from people that said, "Pastor, my just died." Wasn't sick. And I know when I was sitting at the other end of that phone and I heard that they said that, as a pastor who stands up here and preaches every Sunday, preaches the Word of God, I could just sit there and was just overwhelmed. But there's somebody inside of us who knows what's going on. And there's somebody that's able to take what's going on inside of us and lift it up to the Father. He makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Look what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, "There is real prayer in these groanings that cannot be uttered. It is the power of the Holy Ghost in us which creates all real prayer, even that which takes the form of a groan, because the mind is incapable, by reason of bewilderment and grief, of clothing its emotion in words. I pray you never think lightly of the supplications of your anguish." That's deep right there. That is deep. That you never think lightly of the supplications of your anguish. That when you're in a state where you are in complete and utter anguish, wow, that there's still prayer going out from. There's still prayer going out from you. "That which is thrown up from the depth of the soul, which is stirred with a terrible tempest, is more precious than a pearl or coral, for it is the intercession of the Holy Spirit." Words that cannot be uttered. But prayer is going on. It might seem strange to other people. They don't understand it. But God understands it. If a stranger was to come into the home and see a little baby on the floor, the stranger would look and have no idea what that child was dealing with, what that child wanted, what that child needed. But the mother would come in. The mother would come in and snap up the child and know whether it's hungry, need a diaper, got a pain somewhere, would know exactly what to do. The world don't understand these groanings of the Holy Spirit that comes out. But it comes out of the heart of the Holy Spirit and it goes to the heart of God, and God just comes down and rolls up his sleeves and gets busy. Amen. Taking care of whatever the need is. Thank God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And then the final thing that we see is that the Holy Spirit helps us pray according to the will of God. Verse 27 contains a powerful truth. The Holy Spirit lives within the believer and understands what he is thinking and feeling. He understands which thoughts line up with God's will and which thoughts do not. Furthermore, he understands how best to express it to the Lord, because the Father and the Spirit are so intimately connected. The Father knows the mind of the Holy Spirit, and the communication that takes place between the two of them is beyond human comprehension. The end result is that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Look at that. I like. Let me read that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 27. Look what he says here. Romans 8 and verse 27. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let me say this. I know some of y'all are not going to agree with this. But there's really only two times that you know that you're praying according to the will of God. There's only two times that you can be sure that you're praying right. The first one is, if you go to that slide, the first one is when you are praying the word of God. Okay, I knew y'all weren't going to agree. Yeah. When you are praying the word of God, you can be sure that you are praying in the will of God. All right? Whenever you pray in the word of God, you are praying in the will of God. Now, look at this. If I'm praying for somebody to be saved, I'm praying in the will of God. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repent. If I pray that people live, myself and others live a holy life, I'm praying in the will of God, because this is your sanctification, even the will of God. If I'm praying for a godly spouse, this is the will of God, according to Proverbs 18 and verse 22. If I'm praising God, if I'm thanking God, if I'm confessing, if I'm meditating, those things are all in the will of God. So I can stand 100% sure that if I'm praying this word of God, if I'm praying something that's rooted and grounded in the word, that I'm praying in the will of God. The only other time that I can be sure that I'm praying in the will of God, if you go to that next slide, the only other time we can be absolutely sure as human beings that we are praying right is when we are leaning on the Holy Spirit. What does it say the Holy Spirit does? Let me go back and read this again. It says that in verse 27, look at the last part, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. The will of God. That's why, man, people be praying all kind of crazy prayers. I told you about the guy that was, one time, he told me that the Lord, he was praying, the Lord showed him that his wife was in the church, right? That the Lord showed him who his wife was, that who he was going to marry, right? Now, the only problem was, he was already married. Now, that wasn't according to the word or the spirit of God. Where did that come from? That came from the flesh. So it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to pray according to the will of God. That's why in our prayer, saints, we need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. That whenever we come to God in prayer, the first thing we ought to do, invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come into my prayer time. There ought to be an open invitation. Come into my prayer time. And then as you pray guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. Powerful ministry. Powerful ministry. Hopefully we understand this difficult passage a little better. I hope I tried the best that I could to explain it. And I know that somebody else might explain it completely different. So that's why I encourage people to be like the Bereans, to go study and see that what Pastor Glaze told you was right. All right. The anointing of intercession.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Prince Without a Body. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, part 3 of Anointing Fall on Me, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request part 3 of Anointing Fall on Me. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part 3 of Anointing Fall on Me. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can request the entire series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, angeredinjesus.org, or send it to Angered in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Again, that website is angeredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Angered in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.